But speaking of parenting, as we come into this segment of the show that we call the Power Hour.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Good morning, good morning, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Wake Up with Taylor Andre show. Right now, it is the time for the Power Hour, and at the Power Hour, we discuss the topic of the day. Miss Taylor Andre, what is our topic of today?
Hey! Okay, the topic of the day is the topic, we are finishing the topic from yesterday. We're talking about fatherhood, we're talking about parenting, we're talking about child support, we're talking about, we're talking to Prentice Powell. We are talking to Mr. Good Father, Good Dad. We're talking to Mr. Arsenio Hall three times.
Hey.
How are you? Good morning, darling.
Good morning, Taylor Andre. How are you?
I'm super fantastic. Say good morning to Millie Big D and Black Label.
Yep.
Good morning.
Millie Big D, Black Label. What's happening? How are you guys?
Wonderful.
That's good. That's great. Thank you for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
We definitely appreciate you. So I'd like to take this time and give you the floor to do what you do best. Well, first, let me say this.
Introduce this gentleman
exactly
properly, Miss Taylor Andre.
Absolutely. So Mr. Prentice Powell is a poet. He is an awesome poet that has taken YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, he just took over social media. Mm-hmm. He's been on Arsenio Hall. He has recited his poem, Good Father. He has recited one of his other poems, which is absolutely my favorite, The System. And before I even ruin this man's thunder, I am going to give him the floor and allow him to give his all as he explains what a good father is. Mr. Prentice Powell.
Thank you. So you wanted to hear the poem?
Absolutely.
Okay. You know, I would give a disclaimer, but I know we got time to talk, so I'll do it after that.
Okay.
In advance, if anything I say during the course of my poetry upsets anybody or hurts anybody's feelings, I sincerely do not apologize. I want to make that known. I just, you know, ask that you think about all your feelings are hurt and take it from there, and you'll be okay. Don't tell me I'm a good father when you don't know anything about me. Fun-loving daddy and son pictures on the Facebook MySpace page don't equate to instilling values into your child's development. And the fact that I'm black should be irrelevant when it comes to my ability to raise my son. My skin tone should not make me any better or worse when it comes to the paternal instinct. But because fathers like me are apparently I get extra friends. And for what? For doing what I'm supposed to do. From strangers. Strangers who don't know, when my son was born, I only got him from 5 p.m. on Sundays to 12 noon on Saturdays. Went to court to fight for more time. Left court was getting my son from 12 noon on Saturdays to 5 p.m. on Sundays. Then having him over the half of the year, only to lose him at the age of 5 in Florida to rotate the holidays and summertime. So when you see me in the streets with my little one and want to say, it's so good seeing a father doing his job, spending that quality time, don't. Because I'm being robbed of the greatest gift. Forced to live through pictures on an iPhone to recognize the touch of my lips more than they do my fingertips. And the smell of his lotion every day I rub into my skin, so when I smell myself, I think of him. Forced to live through memories that occur within the span of 1 week. Through occasional webcam chats with a child too young to speak back, so when he reaches through that camera, all you can say is, son, I miss you too. Or watching your son learn how to ride a bike via Skype at the hands of another man, and even though you are glad he has another good man around, that man is not you. Not letting his mother know that all this is getting to you, so you get up to grab some tissue, because at all times, that distance of 3,117.4 miles can feel more like 3 million. Try dropping your son off at the airport with 3 teeth in his mouth, go 4 weeks without him. Watch him come back with 5 and see if you don't beat yourself up for not being around during that time. So don't tell me I'm a good father when you don't know anything about me. Try to convince a court system that knows nothing about you that you are simply worthy of time. See, thousands of people inspired by your story but still feel that you are getting nowhere. Have people motivated by the pain that sits every day inside of your chest, and that same pain being a reflection of the amount of love that you possess. Imagine your newborn baby sleep. You're watching them. Trying to get his sleep patterns down pat, praying to God you get it right, because you have one night and have to go 6 days until you get him back. Imagine being able to fly through this world doing what you've loved to do, but because of a court order, your son before the age of one has to fly twice a month, with maybe by the age of two, he'll have more frequent fly miles than you. Try never spending a day in your life locked up in prison and still watch your child grow up primarily through photos. Learn about his milestone via text message and see if you don't feel numb. So how can I smile when people tell me I'm such a good father when I feel like I'm not given enough time to actually be one? Raise your son without feeling like you're actually raising him. And I know everything in this world doesn't go the way we can plan. I can accept that. All that's fine. I just don't understand how a man can be forced to pay half of daycare, half of medical expenses, half of food, half of clothes, half of water, but the same man that laid down to create that child is not automatically given half of the time. Something about this situation is not right. And when I'm done with this poem, I promise you, I don't care if you clap. I just want my earth, my air, my water, my moon, my drive, my moon, my sun, my motivation, my me. I just want my baby, Justice Prentice Powell. I just want my baby back.
That was beautifully awesome. I get goosebumps every time I hear it, and I have heard it multiple times. Like I said, it's all over YouTube. It's all over Facebook. Everybody is ranting. Everybody's raving. Men are crying. I've seen grown men listen to you recite that poem and literally cry talking about, you don't understand how much that resonates with me.
And I mean, even men who don't have children.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's an interesting response. You know, people kind of trip when I say it, but I say that, you know, I always say this poem sucks. Like, I hate this poem.
It does.
And I think the one thing I want listeners to understand when I say that is just that I hate the poem from the space that is still relevant in my life, and it's more relevant now than it ever was. You know, and that's 4.5-year-old poem. You know, but yeah, it's interesting the response. It's interesting the response that the poem has gotten on both sides of the fence.
Mm. You said both sides of the fence.
Right.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I think, you know, the one thing I understand about, you know, the blessing and opportunity that I have to touch so many stages and have so many ears listening is that you open yourself up to criticism and feedback, you know, and that's just life, you know. So I believe that if you're going to get up and you're going to speak anything, you need to be able to own it 24/7, because there's going to be somebody who doesn't. So when I say on the other side of the fence, you have some people who agree. You have those fathers out there. You have mothers out there who can relate in some sense or fashion, or just kind of empathize with you. And then you got some people who don't agree. You know, some people who I guess through their experiences or their perspectives don't agree with my train of thought. And that's okay too. So, you know, what I mean when I say, you know, both sides of the fence, you got some people who are like, cool, I like it, I enjoy it, thank you. And some people are like, nah, I'm not feeling it, I don't agree. Which I find interesting. I find really interesting.
So I went ahead and gave a confession yesterday, and I think the people that don't necessarily agree with you don't necessarily agree with my confession yesterday, which was, once upon a time, I was that baby mama that you were writing poems about. I want to be able to see my child. I want to be able to see my son. You keeping him from me, and, you know, the whole epidemic out here that fathers aren't good dads, and they are deadbeats, but yet they aren't allotted the opportunity to be a good father. They, like you said in your poem, they pay half a daycare, half a child support, half of everything that is supposed to support this child, but they can't even see the child.
Right. It does make it difficult and challenging. You know, the one thing I like to express about the poem when I have an opportunity to is that the poem isn't about his mother. And I think that's what a lot of people don't understand, too. The poem is not about his mama, and honestly, the poem isn't about the judicial system as much as people think. The poem is simply about me loving my son, how much I care about him, and how much I want the opportunity to raise him. That's all it's about. You know, it's not an opportunity to, you know, I'm a man of integrity, so I'm never going to speak down in my children's mothers, anything like that, because I want my son to have that kind of integrity. So it's much less about individuals more than it is my frustration and just my longing to raise my child. That's really what it's about. Mm.
And this is a 4-year-old poem, and you're still longing to raise your child. So
yeah.
The question begs, how much does your son's mother, as well as the judicial system, how much of a role do they actually play for you to still be longing for the one thing that you've been professing?
Oh, well, it's total and complete, which is unfortunate. You know, from my experience, you know, I'm from the Bay Area, I'm from Oakland, but my son was born in Santa Clara County, which is, you know, San Jose is a major city in that area. For me, the experience has been the closest to segregation, I would say, I've ever felt. Mm. And I say that from a space of, you walk in the court, and unfortunately, you see brothers who look just like me who, you know, aren't dressed up when they go to court. You know, they're wearing baggy clothes and a fitted hat and have to get told to take off their do-rag. And the judge just, you know, pushes the case along. And then you have me, and I come in the system and, you know, not to get into the details of our case or anything like that, but very much so prepared. Have done the research, have done all paperwork necessary. The petitioner, you know, the petitioner in the case, and like I say in the poem, when my son was born, I got him from 12 noon on Saturday to 5 p.m. on Sunday. And I, you know, his mother and I live 30 minutes apart. I thought it wasn't fair. I got into education as a result of me wanting to look better in the eyes of the court. Education in a sense of, I started teaching first grade on purpose. Because I was told that the more you work with children, I already worked with kids, the better it would look. And just to have everything dismissed, I think, and the individual circumstances that were far from comparable, just, you know, seeing how quickly you can be dismissed and you know, when I'm in court and I'm hearing things that have me emotionally charged, you know, I'm fighting for my son in court, and showing any kind of emotion, you're depicted as being aggressive or angry, you know, because you say something may not be true, or you're showing obvious frustration while you're sitting there trying to prove that you, I mean, like I said in a poem, that I'm worthy of spending time with my child. And to leave court with getting absolutely no more time, and when I mentioned the child support line, I think people, you know, have a comment about that. You know, my son is priceless, first and foremost. Let me say that. So the money that comes out of my check for child support, I can care less about. You know, please understand that. My child is worth, he's worth way more than any kind of money. So it has nothing to do with that. As much as it does just a desire that any parent should have to raise their child. And then that's all I'm really looking for. That's, you know, that's all I really want. And my whole point out of the poem is just to express my love and frustration. And to be honest with you guys, it was done. My son called me 2 days after the performance. He's on East Coast time because he's in Florida, and he left a voicemail, and he just said, you know, Daddy, I heard the poem. You said my name, thank you, and I love you too. Mm. And for me, it was mission accomplished. All I'm trying to do is leave a blueprint for my son. And Arsenio was an opportunity for me to get on national television in front of 1.6 million people. And I dressed that way on purpose. You know, I purposely didn't dress up. I had my tat showing. I had my neck tattoo with his name showing, that I got May 15th, 2008, the day I found out I was having a boy. I don't know why I got tatted on my neck, but I did. And I wanted people to see that. I wanted people to see a black man who, you know, I am covered in tattoos, who's speaking about loving his child. Because like you said, there's a lot of stigmatism about fathers who look like me who don't love or raise our children. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to make it clear that, you know, I do love him, and let him know, most importantly, because when he gets older, I don't want to have to say anything. Again, I'm a man of integrity, so, you know, I don't want to say anything to him. I just want him to be able to look back and say, yo, when I was 3, my daddy did this. When I was 4, my daddy did this. When I was 5, my daddy did this. When I was 7, my daddy did this, you know, so this is another stake in the ground for him being 5 years old, for him to be able to say, yo, my daddy loves me. And, you know, he definitely got the hint.
And he was. I didn't realize how long ago that poem was, the original poem of you sitting in front of the camera with him on your lap. I didn't realize how long ago that was, because he was a little bitty thing.
He was 4 and a half. You know, that was 4 and a half years ago. So he was one. With sitting with that pacifier in his mouth, it took me forever to get him off the pacifier. But yeah, he was, other good memories. He was one.
So as a father, yesterday, I want to say that a bulk of the topics or a bulk of the comments that came from our listeners were about child support, were about not the frustration of paying child support and not being able to see your child. Mostly because the mother won't allow it, or the court system is not on their side. For fathers that are going through the system, because you mentioned the case, so I'm figuring that there's something going on legally. For fathers that have a legal battle ensuing, is there any inspiration or any words of encouragement that you would give them, or any suggestions?
You know, I would say do your research. I would say be on point. I mean, just like anything, be on point. So you want to be thorough. You want to have done, you know, you have a lawyer, you don't have a lawyer. You want to know what schools are in your area. You want to you want to be as thorough as possible. You want to be a parent. So, you know, you want to go there showing that you have everything in place. And what you don't have, start working to get and have proof of that. Also, most importantly, don't give up. You know, I got really, really defeated last year. Really, really defeated. Just, you know, felt horrible. Like, you know, I don't know what's going to change. And, you know, it's important to remember why you're doing it. And if you're doing it out of spite for the mother, if you're doing it for any reason other than spending time with your son, you need to reevaluate what you're doing, because that's going to show. And that's just not right. You know, I'm not an advocate of a mother or father being spiteful or using the child for any reason, towards any kind of negative feelings towards the other parent. So, you know, my advice to fathers, when you go into court, be prepared. Be prepared to hear no. And I say that with my experience of the California court system and what I've seen the men I've talked to. But you have to be positive. You have to be on point. And you can never give up. And I say never give up, because it may be a very, very hard battle.
Here's my advice. Don't try that in Massachusetts. They would have pat you down as soon as you got off Arsenio stage. Did you get a check, buddy? But I do appreciate you telling gentlemen, you know, not to give up, because it is very discouraging to try to go through that battle, and you go through it alone. It's not like you going with an attorney versus you're fighting. They have an attorney on their side.
So that's what my case was.
To all of the gentlemen who are going through this struggle, through this fight, if you have given up, I hope you have some type of incentive now to go back and keep on swinging to see your child.
And for you,
keep up the good work, keep giving up the word, and like your voice travels. So keep on delivering, okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
So I don't know your goals, your dreams, your ambitions, but right now you are, like Big D said, your voice travels. And I am wondering if you are considering some type of organization to help fathers be able to be the father that they want to be. We were speaking yesterday, and I said there needs to be a bill. There needs to be a bill on the table that gives fathers more rights. We live in Massachusetts. We're Boston, Massachusetts. Our nickname is Massachusetts, because this is the state that, this is a woman's state, hands down.
Right.
So I do wonder if that's something that you see in your near future.
Well, you know, honestly, what's happened as a result of that poem going viral and being on Arsenio is I've had so many fathers' rights organizations reach out that I did not know existed. I've had a couple of actors and entertainers who have nonprofits reach out. So what I'm getting like right now is a lot of contacts, names, information, and opportunities to perform, speak for certain organizations, which is creating my interest, because one thing people don't realize in this country that I learned is that the child support system is a $6.3 billion business.
Ooh, hold on, time out. Rewind that for me.
Right. So one thing I learned is that the child support system per year is a $6.3 million business. Anytime you say business, it puts a different perspective in place.
Absolutely.
And again, you know, I encourage people listening to understand that I'm talking about this from a gender issue. That's my point. I want that to be clear. So it's not just black fathers going through this. You know, it's not just fathers who want to be a part. It's all fathers of all races go through this. This is a gender issue. You say, you know, Massachusetts is called Massachusetts. There you go right there. That's a gender thing right there. But when you learn that there's a business and there's money involved and it's actually calculated, you know, it puts into a different perspective how big of a monster you're fighting.
Mm. And that honestly does put it into a whole nother perspective where, again, we are divided and conquered, and this time by gender.
Right.
And I never thought about it like that. So thank you for altering my perspective of the situation and giving me a new understanding of it as a whole.
No problem.
Mm.
I think it's important we stay informed.
Absolutely. This is totally so off topic, but I was hoping... Okay. That I could hear you recite my favorite poem.
I think I may be able to do that. I think I know what poem you're talking about.
Yes, please do. I'm not even going to give an introduction because I don't think the poem needs one.
Okay,
thank you.
No problem, gotcha. There is no you. There is only who I want you to be. From your latest cell phones to the style seen in your most recent videos to my implementation to what you call swag. If you can't brag about how many women you have or the $200 denim on your butt, you are worthless. Your purse is not hot if it is a fall edition and we are in the winter. And as long as your kids have Jordans on their feet, it is okay if they have to eat top ramen for a week for dinner, your check is in the mail. You fail at becoming grown men, so you don't bother with your younger ones. Give them to me. I'll program them to Viacom. Have them growing up with a single mom and no males to emulate and wonder why so many begin have extensive rap sheets and ADD with no off switch and download a defense that is nothing but false self-confidence shown through them being overly aggressive. Your misguided women want nothing but diamonds and Fendi, or dreams of finding a professional athlete to pay for their lives, because to them, being a wife is not a lifestyle, it is trendy. Trendy to have like a little black dog carried around in a bag, the demasculinization of your black man is going according to plan. Flip the coin, and for those who have chose not to go down that road, make sure that any statement they make that may challenge their masculinity are followed by statements of insecurity. We can't have them thinking for themselves. Program dreams to be a mirage. Close enough to see, yet too far to reach. Set their aesthetics to pathetic, aka camouflage. Allow them to blend in. Keyword trend. Downtown corners full of rappers who refuse to give up even though their stuff sucks, but will allow them to say their piece. At the very least, it'll make them a quick buck. Any more success, initiate operation exploitation. Throw them a bit more cash. I am the system. Programmed to initiate commands. You Negroes, error, you people are programmed not to ask. Empty vessels who have sold their souls a long time ago, and you call me robotic. I am the system. systematically set to just do. You are systematically set to just do and not think, and you call me robotic, error, redundancy, error, repeat, error, redundancy. Pardon me. I was scanning your culture's current popular music. You want a cop to pay for killing one of you, but carry a no snitching policy in your own community, which allows you Negroes, ever, you coons, ever, you colors, ever, you people to have absolutely no accountability. Irony, overload, reset. I am the system, systematically set to sensitize your senses, senseless activity surround your society, simultaneously making you love me while shaking in your boots. And for those who dare to overthrow me, allow me to remind thee, 'tis I who provides you with the land and seeds you use to grow your little grass roots. I am the system.
Oh, Lord. I could faint now. What exactly? All right, so first and foremost, you do not know me. Let me give you 5 seconds. I am quote unquote known as the conspiracy theorist.
White girl.
Okay.
And
got it.
And when I heard your poem, I was like, he gets me. Somebody gets me. What exactly inspired the poem?
I was walking down the street. And I thought to myself, if the system could talk, what would it say? So I went home and I wrote what this I thought the system would say. It was really that simple. If the system could talk, what would it say? And, you know, that was the basic premise of it. So I wrote the poem down. I had it for a while. And when I originally started performing it, it wasn't like it is now. But I just kind of wanted to create something that... people had never seen before. That was my whole goal with poetry. My whole goal, you know, kind of challenged myself, is to do a poem that nobody's ever seen before, where people really got the hint.
When you say,
that's what it was.
Well, I guess more to you, Taylor. You say conspiracy. This is not so much conspiracy theories. He just has a very artistic way of saying the obvious. It's not like we don't know what the system does to people, black, brown, people of color, men, women, children, whatever. He has just a really, really good way of wording the obvious. Like,
right, right.
That's what it is.
It's not rocket science, right?
It's not rocket science. He just really has a good way of articulating what it is that we already know.
And the crazy thing that people don't realize, like my point in with the whole movement, is just to show that's what the system does. You give somebody something shiny, you know what I mean? They're gonna be attracted to it. So my whole thing was, if I get on stage and I just say this poem, you're not really gonna listen and want to hear what I have to say. You know, a lot of people aren't. They're gonna roll their eyes. They're gonna cut it. They're gonna switch off the channel. But if you see somebody up there moving a certain way, or if something about them catches your attention without hearing it, you'll watch, and then I can get people to listen. And I feel like the system is the same way. It dangles shiny coins and, you know, things in our face to distract us from what's really going on. So while you're fascinated off of how I'm moving or looking at me, I'm at that time trying to take advantage of, you know, dropping a little bit of my opinion in your ear. Smoke screen.
Yeah, hence
smoke screen. The whole phone's a smoke screen.
You ever seen poets do a whole lot of moving while they recite poetry? Maybe their hands, but most of the time they're all standing still.
Right.
It's a reason for that. It's not just coincidence that all of them, it doesn't mean they have bad stage presence. No, like that's what entertainers do to keep you entertained. They do a lot of moving to draw you in. It's like you said, it's a smoke screen. Taylor, we get you. Right. We all get you. He just has a cooler way of saying it.
Well, thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Good, Taylor.
Great. Thanks. I'm not cool enough. Thanks, Brown Label.
We get you. I mean, you know, we understand sometimes you can't read. But other than that,
sometimes.
All right.
Most of the time. But, you know, we get you. Even when you use wrong words, like rudify. We get you. You just, you know, he has a cooler way of saying it, and he has all the right words in the right order spelled and pronounced correctly to say it.
You know what? You know what?
We got to give Brother Powell something to work with, because he is called up here and, like,
from the Bay Area.
He brought it. So we're going to give him some back right now. Black Label, turn that up. We're going to do a song for you, player.
All right, brother.
Here we go. Black Label, you going to take that from the top? You know, you already know where we're going to go with this, right? Have a baby by me, baby. Be on welfare. Oh, that's what you're going to get. Messing with one of us. Some food stamps. Take me to court.
You ain't getting nothing. Take me to court.
You ain't getting a damn thing. I'm going to court with a roll of nickels.
Get to share in on this struggle. We all be in one place. Now we can have campfire stories about the struggle.
We're going to send you a tag of all the new weaves that are out so that you can point them out when you go to court. Look, Yana, she got in Remy. Who in the hell you think paid for that? And it got the new chin strap on it because she was on her bike getting to court.
The new chin strap.
Have a baby by me, baby. Be on welfare. This needs to be your theme song.
Yeah, I promise you I was not expecting that one.
What? I got issues. I'm working on it.
My man said, I'm going to bring in a post-it. Be like, yo, Judge, she got that new Remy.
Yeah, exactly.
The fact that he said he got the new chin strap.
Got the new chin strap on.
She ain't broke.
Got the invisible chin strap, the kind that you can see through. Well, it's clear.
Yeah, she's in Florida, so it's in case she hit a high wave or something, it don't come off.
Surfboard or something.
Surfboard.
So one of the things I can definitely appreciate about Mr. Powell, Prentice Powell, is that he said he is a man of integrity, and he would never disrespect one of his children's moms. I can count on one hand how many men can honestly say that and then live and abide by that.
Mm. Yes, it's one thing to say, it's another thing to do it. You know, you got to understand. I know for me, the platform I have, especially right now, is crazy.
Right.
You know, the attention that I have specifically on this poem and a subject that I experience on a daily basis, it's huge. And if I so choose to, I could easily tell my truth, you know, and I say my truth because it's my truth. Mm-hmm. And I could easily make, you know, and you can even hear now, like, I'm trying to make sure I'm politically correct and I use my words wisely. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think people understand the restraint that his fathers go through, you know, like, honestly. And I make sure that I'm as vague as possible when speaking on this subject as far as an individual, you know, who's a part of it. So, I can easily get up and bash, but that's not going to get my son back.
That's right.
Mm. And that's what my focus is, you know what I mean? But we're talking about anybody, that's not going to get my son back. That's not going to do nothing for me. That's not going to make me feel better to be out here, you know, saying whatever I want to say, sharing whatever stories I want to share. That's not going to get them back, and that's my whole point. Correct. Get them back. So if it's not about getting them back, I don't really have time for it. I'm just going to look more stereotypical than I already do. Mm. You know, there's no point in that. So, you know, I really don't understand why, again, parents use a child in a way, or you're speaking bad on your child. The one thing I respect so much about my mother is that she never spoke bad about my father. And to be honest with you, my father was a lame when it came to raising me. Mm-hmm. I saw my father 6 times growing up.
Oh, wow.
You know,
I'm calling you now. And, hey, boy, I seen you on Arsenio. Everything all right?
You know, so...
You look good in your
coat.
Or,
you know, he doesn't see my... You know, seen his grandchildren, you know... Not even once, you know, and this man lives an hour and a half away from me, you know, so, you know, for me, it's, my mother never said anything about him, and when I was old enough, I discovered and found out what I needed to find out.
Right.
And I respect my mother so much, because I don't understand how she showed that kind of restraint, you know, and that's where I got that from. My mother showed a lot of restraint with speaking about my dad, and, you know, I found the story when I needed to, and that she allowed me to come to my own conclusion and to make my own choices in regards to my relationship with her. And I want my son to do the same.
I hear you.
True.
Now, let me ask you a quick question. With your, with all the attention that you're getting now, do you think that, you know, at some point it's going to make your fight to see your son weak? Because, I mean, do you, not to say weak, but, you know, kind of divert you in a way because of the touring and stuff like that. I know people are requesting you all over the place right now.
Right. Well, no, this is what I do. You know, that's what people got to understand. Like, you know, I work in education as well. I teach autistic children with severe behavioral disorders, and I develop creative writing curriculum for African-American boys. I work specifically with African-American boys. Mm-hmm. But this is what I do. That poem is one of many poems. You know, so if anything, it's you know, to be honest, it's made it a little harder. There were some people who weren't happy about that poem.
Well, I heard your disclaimer, so it wouldn't even matter who's not happy.
Right, right.
Everyone has
an
opinion.
But, well, let me put it this way. There are some people who are directly involved with this poem who are not happy about it being on national television.
That's okay.
You know, and so when that happens, you know, people who have influence and power go back to court and, you know, do certain things. So it's brought more attention to the subject. I don't like the poem because it hurts. It takes a piece of me. It's not something that I perform on a regular basis at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not fake. And what people, you know, I also want to understand, that wasn't no performance I did on Arsenio. You know, the system was a performance. The system, I walk around, I practice religiously my poems, I practice, but that Good Father poem, that's not a performance. That was real.
Right.
And I don't mean to say that my words are not real in my poems, because I stand behind everything I say. But that was as real as I'm going to get. That was just having a camera in front of me.
True. Well, with that having been said, you, under the circumstances that you find yourself in, I can see how you have to be politically correct. Now, with that being said, I'd like to offer you this compromise. I'm freelance, so I can say what I want. So at any time, if you feel you need to vent, like, look, I say it. All you know, just shoot a text message, you know, call up to the station, leave a voicemail, you know, let me know what you're feeling, and I can get it out there to the public, to the nation.
All right, man, I appreciate that. I'll do that.
I get what you're saying about, like, not being able to bash, because since it's 6:30 and I got a half an hour to argue with people, I'm going to go ahead and ruffle some feathers. Being able to bash somebody in court and get away with it is a right and a privilege that is exclusive to women. So,
oh man, absolutely.
That's something we can't get away with. So yes, you have to be vague, because whatever you say, especially in the case of paternity and custody, it will always be held against you. Like, it's always like the bullet in the smoking gun that's aimed at you. And you're right, any show of emotion is you being angry or you being violent or basically any little thing that can segue into you wouldn't be a good parent,
right,
is used against you in a court setting. Especially, I feel like, in the case of African-American men who are in the middle to lower class, it's like doubled in their case. Because, you know,
right,
we don't have the lawyers with all the formal knowledge and the connections and the mm-hmm. ties to pull strings to where we can get around the system. Because, you know, we don't get affluenza, apparently.
Okay, so I totally agree with that, and would like to say, when you were saying, like, our lawyers, not that our lawyers aren't educated, they're just overworked. They have a million and one cases that they have to deal with, and they're, what are the public defenders? Is that what they're
the man doesn't get a defender,
yeah,
or anyone on his side. It's just you and the coat you came to court with,
basically, unless you just so happen to be an attorney yourself. But that's the attorney itself is not the bigger issue. Like, when you walk in, you're already two strike, you're already, you know, down 10 points, and it's 3 seconds in the fourth quarter. When you walk in, like, there's already two strikes against you. Like, it's pretty much been, I'd say 75% decided that the mother is going to be the sole parent with custody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, visitation rights are swayed, but if you compare visitation rights in hours, think of them as wages. So if you compare how much you pay in child support as opposed to how much time that you get to spend with your child, you roughly spend about somebody's year's salary in child support if you do it in reference as a wage to the time you get to spend with the child. So, you know, you said from, you get what, 4 hours on a weekend?
Well, I used to. Now, you know, my son started school in Florida, so I can't see him until June.
Okay, so that means that stretches, what, three-fourths, actually what, no, two-thirds of the year that he gets to see his son. But I'm pretty sure they don't give you a credit or a pass on paying child support for those two-thirds of the year, do they?
Oh, no.
Oh, no, not at all.
Of course not.
Not at all. You know, not at all. There's no breaks on that. And then that's not even my point. You know, again, like, my son is worth every dollar I spend. But, no, there's no during that, you know, lame 6 weeks that I get during the summer, a six-week break. And my point is, I just, you know, I'm having a hard time understanding that. You know, first of all, when I went to court, my son was 2 months old when I started fighting. And how are you going to tell me that I will be an unfit parent to take care of my son when he's only 2 months? Like, what have I done to determine that I am incapable of raising my child? He's 2 months old. Like, what do you know? What do I know? To be honest, this is my first child. So,
you're ready to give it a chance.
It's just interesting. That's my whole point. You know, that's really my whole point. If I mess it up, if I drop the ball, then I understand. You know, if I fumbled him as a baby and was smoking and drinking, and I mean, I don't know, but you can't just out the box just put a target on somebody and say unfit or unqualified or underqualified because of my gender.
This happened long before your child was born. This actually happened long before you were born. I can actually tell you what you did that made you an unfit parent in the eyes of the court. You were born black with a penis. That's what happened. That's what you did. So long before anything that was in your control about the situation was long since dispelled upon your own creation, even before the creation of your child. So the strike against you was being born black and a male, being born black and a male in America. So,
when you know how that is, I got a new poem about being a black man in America. So, you know, your strikes are against you from the jump.
Pretty much. So, I mean, if that sheds any light on the question, that's kind of what it is that you did wrong. Not that it was technically your fault, but then again, you're working in a system which is not made for you in any event. So it can't really fail you.
True.
Right. Right.
Could I possibly request that poem, or do we need to wait for that one as well?
Just like a white woman.
You're getting on people's nerves.
Can I hear that one?
He said he has a new poem about being a black man. We're talking about being a black man. I would love to hear it.
But you are a white woman.
You know what? I'm working on it. Let me see if I can get through it. I want to, you know, make sure I fulfill my interview obligations.
Obligated?
Yeah, let me see if I could. I don't mean it that way. I mean, I'm honestly, if I'm not into a poem, I just simply can't do it.
You better take it.
Okay, but yeah, before I get out of here, I'll leave you guys with this poem. See if I can get through it. It's unfinished, okay.
Hey, you know what? Here, do like the homeboys do when we're freestyling. Just say to the point you feel like, and then be like, ooh. Yeah.
And then just be done.
Then be done.
And don't worry about the ooh. I already got that. I got that over here. Ooh.
All right, here we go. Being a black man in America means being my brother's keeper by keeping a distance from my brother because I don't trust him further than I can see him. It's being born believing the cops don't give a damn about you. It's learn how not to doubt yourself because when you're born, everybody else already does. It is the love you have for your mother, regardless of her flaws, and dealing with your daddy issues so your son doesn't have to. Being a black man in America is a full-time job you will never see a single penny for. There are no breaks, no time off, no benefits. It is a lifelong commitment and an early death sentence. Being a black man in America is a gift.
It is a blessing. It is a gift God chose for me to receive because he believes I can handle it. It is a gamble. It's knowing every time I step outside, the world is a poker table, and whether I like it or not, your chips are all in. It is a grin you put on your face every time you feel pain, just to let the world know they will not break you. Right after dropping down to your knees, praying to God, asking him to heal you because the pressure has gotten way too real, so you pop 30 pills, but it still doesn't kill you. But what will is something as simple as going to the corner store without your pistol that's tucked under your mother's floorboard. What will is not detaching yourself from your best friend's dangerous lifestyle because your loyalty won't let you. And you know, had he not been around when that thing went down, you may not be here right now. Being a black man in America means you can die over a pack of Skittles, have your murderer acquitted, then deemed as a celebrity to participate in a boxing match against a washed-up rapper who's now a drug addict, a man who used to rap. Have people watch and taste to see it on pay-per-view, even though it won't bring your life back. Being a black man in America means black boy, turn your music down, play it loud if you won't, but that may be the last gas you ever pump. Being a black man, stay out of Florida. And I got a son who lives in Florida. So being a black man is to be a black man in America, and unless you are a black man in America, you will never understand what it's like to be a black man in America. But please, don't pity us, envy us. We are whole pieces of broken, some too shattered to care, and some just trying to put the pieces back together.
All right, all right, all right! Yeah!
So I'll leave you guys with that.
Man. Yeah, you left us with something, player. That's tough.
Appreciate you guys for having me. I really do.
Prentice, I thank you. I appreciate you. I love you. This will be posted up online if you would like to listen later on. I have no words. I am so appreciative. And the black man, I would love to have you on when that poem is done so we can then dissect that poem and discuss that a little bit more as well.
Absolutely. I love to come out. I look forward to coming back on the show. And again, to Andre, I appreciate the opportunity, and to the rest of the crew, pleasure meeting you guys as well. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, you know DMX is going to come talk to you about that one though, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, hey, yeah. I'm going to get snatched up. I'm going to get snatched up.
I heard what you said.
Right. I'm going to get snatched up, man.
I went to rehab. I'm listening to you. You're real tough. I like being a black man.
I hope you have an amazing day, Prentice. We definitely appreciate you.
Thank you so much. You guys have a great day as well.
Keep up the good work.
Yeah, brother. All right, I'll talk to y'all soon.
All right. Oh, Lord.
You a dog.
Millie, how did that make you feel, darling?
Made her feel like a thug.
Got the do-rag on to the side. I see you, Millie.
Oh, it's on the side?
Leaning with it.
Oh, it's me. Let me
good morning, Carla. You are live.
Oh, good morning. Good morning. You guys are too much. I am just waking up, and I was like, wow, wait a second. Being a black man in America, what about being a black woman in America? Jesus, we carry the weight, and I ain't even wrote this poem yet.
Uh-oh. You know,
I got it. I got that. I got the comeback.
Just like a black woman in America trying to get some shine. You heard, it's the man's day.
I am concerned because we are becoming dangerous. We are a dangerous species wanted in America. Okay. Right. This is Sister Maddie. I'm waking up with y'all. Alabama girl is in the house.
Hey.
Hey, Sister Taylor.
Hey,
how you doing, girl? Hey, boo. What's up?
So I'm going to post on... there's a documentary that I found. I'm going to post it on the Wake Up with Taylor Andre Facebook page. And it's about being demonized as a black man in America.
Right.
Okay, girl.
But I love you and I thank you. I hope you have
a... I wonder what they're saying about us. We black women are too much.
You
we
know
want
what?
To conquer the world. We want to conquer the world, girl. Like we ain't already carrying it on our backs.
But
you want me to write this poem?
Because
you know I'm going to write it. You know I'm going to write it, girl.
I know you are.
It's going down.
As soon as you do, we want to hear it.
You better hear it. You better hear it. Because you know I'm a poet and I know it.
Yeah, a poet and you know it.
I'm going to be in the crowd making DMX noises on you.
Big D. say?
I'm be in the crowd making DMX sounds.
Uh-oh, you go ahead, because I need all the backup. Yep. I can't bring out your guns. Bring
get
out your
from the
guns.
Top.
Well, y'all have a blessed day today.
You do the
you
same.
As well,
and I
mama.
Love you, love you, love you. Keep on doing it.
I love you too, baby. I'll talk to you later.
Okay.
All right. Good morning, caller. You're live.
Yep.
Hey, Taylor. How you guys doing this morning?
Super right. Fantastic. How are you?
All righty. I just wanted to thank you and let you know I really appreciate you having Princess Powell on there.
Absolutely.
It really makes you stop and think. And I once again, I really want to thank you guys.
Well, thank you.
All righty.
Absolutely. All right. Did you hear the last poem that he did, the Black Man in America?
Man, yep. I heard every bit of it. I heard all of it.
That was a pleasure.
Yeah, one quick thing though about his the father poem. There's no way in the world that I have to disagree with him that when you're dealing with child support and stuff like that, there's no way in the world that you can say that has nothing to do with the mother.
Right.
You know, the reason you guys are in court has everything to do with the mother. There's no way in the world that you can sit down with, two grown adults can sit down and say, listen, we're not getting along. Let's work out some financial agreement to take care of your son.
Mm-hmm.
If you have to go through the court system, then clearly the father's not going to go through the court system. The mother's going to take him to the court system. You know, my daughter's mother and I came to that same agreement. She was ready to take me to child support, and I sat her down and said, listen, this is how much I make a week. This is how much I make a month. I can give you this much every week, and all we have to do is just avoid this court system. And it worked out. That's all you have to do. Open up a bank account for your child, get direct deposit, and you don't have to deal with the court system. There's no way you can tell me that you can say this has nothing to do with the mother.
Mm.
I hate
that's
you.
All I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. I mean, you know, it doesn't make sense to me. And this is what happens when, you know, your child's mother is angry at you.
Well, she mad that, now because he all over TV. She,
yep.
Right.
That's what everybody.
That's I mean, if anybody's listening to my voice, that's all you have to do. You know, I mean. There has to be some point in time where you have to be civil to her, and there's some point in time that she has to be civil with you.
Mm. When the kid's 18.
Yeah, that's when they're going to be civil when you ain't forced to pay no more. But then after that, before that, having a sit down about a financial obligation or financial agreement, before we do that, I think that should go without discussion. Let's sit down and correlate on, look, how me and you are going to go about raising this child and do everything in the best interest of this child. Despite money and all of that, because you know I can't buy a child morals. I can't buy a child values. That's something you have to teach them. So before you talk to me about just being your sponsor, you know, let's see how we're gonna correlate to be parents.
Yo, guess what I just figured out?
Exactly.
You know what? You know what I just figured out, fellas? That is not happening in the real world. You guys are living in a dream this morning.
No,
I'm dead that right now.
No, oh, we know it ain't going to happen.
Big D, there's no Big D. Come on, man. I mean, you have to at least. I can understand for the little knucklehead boys that walk around with their pants hanging and don't want no woman telling them what to do. But anybody that has a half a brain, any grown man that has a half a brain, to know that if they're going to walk up in the court system with a suit on. Then that means that they have enough intelligence to sit down and talk to a woman and say, listen, this is what it's all about. And then be honest with you guys, that's pretty much what it is all about. If you live 30 minutes away from your mother, your child's mother, ain't no way in the world that you can tell me if you walk into that court system, it's going to destroy the entire, time that you're supposed to spend with your child.
Mm-hmm.
When all you have to do is just say, listen, this is what's going on between me and you. Okay, and then when she comes to that agreement, like I said, I sat my daughter's mother down and I talked to her.
I know she listened because you are angry.
Right.
You stutter and you said this is much. This is much.
So
they gonna listen to you.
This is much. You got to say that with a straight face so nobody think that was the wrong word. It's kind of like affluenza. They don't need to know you made it up. Just go with it.
So Dan Rudified calls up the Wake Up with Tell Andre show. We thank you very much for calling up. Have a wonderful day, Chief.
Yo, I love y'all, man. Taylor, you are going to get a a medal for all of this you're doing. Your show is going to be number one on Big City Radio. It's almost
that's because of the cast.
That's because of us. Yeah, it is.
White women always trying to take the credit for something the brothers done did. Brother and the sister.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Millie's going to get the lip gloss award. Look.
Well, I claim it. I thank you. I love you. I appreciate you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Jesus?
Oh, my Jesus. God. This is why we don't talk to you.
Surely.
I don't know who Jesus is.
Good morning, Carly. You're live.
Good morning.
Oh, hell no. Hell, we know who that is.
That's why she said Jesus. Absolutely.
That's why she said Jesus.
This show this morning is like a home run, knocking it out the park. A swish from half court at the buzzer. A touchdown on the kickoff return.
Hey player, y'all, that's what I do, man.
Listen, an old wise man told me a story one day about a donkey that fell in a ditch. And everybody walked by and threw a rock at the donkey. After a while, there were so many rocks in the ditch that the donkey used them as stepping stones to climb out of the ditch. Mm. This brother, Prentice Powell, is the epitome of the personification of that parable. And I got to say to the, you know, sisters who are listening to the brother get a little bit of shine and want to upstage him, you know, and also of Women's History or Her Story Month, right? There is not a man on the planet that was not born of a woman. So when we shine, you shine.
Mm. We shine together.
We shine together.
Yeah, that's a nice song.
Uh-oh. Mm. Well, I thank you. I appreciate you.
Yeah, wake up with Taylor Andre Show. You should have had Prentice Powell do a drop for you, a poetic drop. That would have been dope.
Who said he didn't do one?
Okay, all right. I didn't hear it yet.
Yeah. Just keep listening.
Yeah, y'all just call him back behind
donkey.
Y'all gotta call him back offline and have him do it.
Talk quiet. Have a great day.
You too.
Get the hell off the phone now.
Good morning, Carly. You're live.
Carly, you're live. And talk quiet.
Caller.
I hate all of y'all.
So ignorant. Good morning, caller. You're live.
Taylor, ain't nobody on the
darling,
phone.
Call back. I'm sorry. Good morning, caller. You're live.
Let me talk quiet again.
It's you, baby.
You sound like he said, where my dog's at? He sound like one of them old, damn, retired Logan Airport drug sniffing dogs. He ain't found no weed, no nothing.
No, the nose don't even work no more.
Wake the hell up, K-9. Wake up.
Oh, no, like that dog from Family Guy, that old man's dog. And he'd be like, come here.
All
my black men in the struggle. You know what it is. One.
We have a caller on line 3. I would really appreciate if this caller could call back because you've been on hold. Yeah, you've been on hold for a while, baby. We want to know.
Let's talk about second phone. Got to hang up.
We do want to know what you have to say. Today was an awesome day. I know we haven't digressed in so long, but
digress. You don't need to digress, girl. Mm-mm. That is that white woman.
Digression is Taylor's code word for vent. So go ahead, vent.
She can't say nothing.
He's holding a call back.
She needs to assault some lotion. What is wrong with you this morning?
Call you live.
Hello.
Good morning.
I'm calling. I love Princess Powell.
Hold up. Talk real now.
Okay, gosh. I also want to disagree with the call before last indicating that an agreement is okay. That does not always work. You can sit down with a man, and if you come up with an agreement and he doesn't follow through, then what? You sit around and wait for money to come through? No, you have to use the court system because even though there's an agreement in place, if that man does not follow through, then you have to take matters in your own hands to go to the court system. Now, don't get me wrong, you know, you may not want to do that, but you should not have to force a man to take care of his child either. Now, yesterday, Taylor was also indicating about custody. You know, child support does mess up everything because once I went in that courthouse and filed the paper because you didn't follow through with the agreement, that meant child support was now my children's father. So So to each his own, what, you know, with that man trying to be an adult, because it doesn't always follow through. And my kids have not seen their father since I took them to child support and does not want to be a part of their life since I took them to child support. So it does affect the child, but in the same token, you still need to be able to provide for your children also. So you can be on the understanding and everything, but if the man doesn't follow through, you got to do what you got to do.
True. But here's my thing to that. Before you go to the court system, at least present the opportunity to come to that agreement. Don't automatically think that, you know, oh, well, they're not going to uphold their end of the bargain, because believe it or not, it ain't just us. So,
well, understandable, but I waited 9 months.
Well, then that's different. That's totally understandable at that point.
And I have twins. So at that point, it was like, oh, no, I got double everything. So it's either you're going to get with it or I got to do what I got to do, because daycare is high.
True. Now, at that point, yeah, that's understandable. But I mean, it's like from jump, it's like, you know, out of the delivery room, it's like, you know, from the delivery room, the next room you're going to be in is the courtroom.
Yeah. Well, he didn't know putting her in the wheelbarrow was going to make two babies.
Ain't it?
Exactly.
Yes, your surfboard is a different. You feel the bathtub up all the way.
She damn sure was surfboarding.
That could have scared them away, but hey, at the end of the day, they still here. You know? So thank you for everything.
All right. Well, thank you for calling up. Have a good day.
Stay out that surfboard. Caller, go ahead. You're the last caller.
Okay, good morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. I just like to say, all right? It's a good show. It's a good show. I enjoy myself and everything, but you know what I mean? The last lady that she just called, she's kind of right. Because I'm a guy, and when we go to child support, if we lay or what we want, because I'm in child support for my kids. Mm-hmm. And the first thing I said, I don't want no visitation rights. I want to see my child anytime I want, whenever I want. You know what I mean? And I'll pay whatever money she wants. Okay? And I pay that. And my kids, I see my kids whenever I want, whatever, whatever. And I have one live in Florida. All right? And I see him, you know, not so whenever I want, because he's in Florida. Mm-hmm. But if when we as men go to court, we don't take it as a negative, we take the bad and turn it into a good. You know what? This is going to protect the woman and it's going to protect the man, in a sense. You know what I mean? Because you have a record of you paying your money as long as you're able to pay. You know what I mean? If you can't pay, that's a different. You know, but most men, you know, go to court and they go with the attitude where, like, you know what? I'm already screwed. So, you know what? Forget it. No, 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 no. You know you're screwed. So look at the ways that you're going to make this thing a good thing for you and your kid. You know what I mean? And if you, in whatever you do, try to get the best visitation out of everything at jump. You know what I mean? As long as you do it up front, because you try to go back, it doesn't look right. But you do it from jump. And another thing, I have a 20-year-old son, and I tell him, I don't mean to be racist, but I tell him, pick who you lay with. You know what I mean? If you lay with fleas, of course you're going to get what you're going to get. But pick who you lay with. All right?
Yes.
So that's all I have to say. But you have to have common sense when you're doing these things. You know what I mean? And keep the show up. Don't ever drop it, because I'm learning a whole lot.
Oh. You know what I mean? I just taught you about the wheelbarrow, right?
Yeah.
Don't do that, buddy.
And that surfboard to get your twins. That's what
sure
I
will.
Surfboard to get your twins. That's kind of what I heard.
You be in court saying a whole nother story. Well, you are now. I can't believe I make two at one time. That is eggs. Have a wonderful day, my man.
You too, man.
All right, boss.
I only blew up one time. I don't know how to. I only blew one time.
Well, you tell me about the wheelbarrow, and I try that.
Well, I had an awesome day this morning. I appreciate you all listening, as well as those in the studio. Hey. We will be back tomorrow. Shout out to the Good Life Morning crew. Who is up next? please, please head over, if you're just now tuning in, to mixcloud.com, where the show from today will be posted online, and all of us will share that on our pages, so you can go ahead and listen to Prentice Powell's 1, 2, and 3 poems. I feel so special that he really gave us one that wasn't even finished.
Yeah.
So
Freestyle. And he was talking about DMX.
Yeah, he was. He wasn't planning on saying it, but I'm glad he did. I appreciate that he did. And I love him for doing it. I hope you guys have an amazing day today, and we will be back in the morning.
It's the show you'll never want to hit the snooze button on. You're waking up with Taylor Andre, weekdays 5 to 7 on 101.3 FM.
DJ Black Label.
If it's not Big City, it's not certified Big City 101.3.
This is Big City.